Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Well, gee, folks, I have to confess to feeling quite silly. I woke up this morning concerned as always about climate change amongst all of the other collapse probabilities. And then I remembered something. I don't need to worry about this anymore because COP30 is coming. The UN is going to solve the climate crisis this year, just like they have done every year for the past 30 years. So I think that's it, folks. I'm going to wrap up, shut down the podcast. No need to continue on when here in just a couple of weeks, the UN is going to fly in some 50,000 people to a city in Brazil where they're going to lay out exactly how they will stop us from hitting 1.5 degrees Celsius, which, and I'm not joking here. I was doing research for this episode and realized that I didn't know what COP stood for. COP30. This meeting is held every year, and you'd think I would know by now what it stands for. But when I looked it up, it says COP30 stands for the 30th Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, the UNFCCC. So COP is just Conference of the Parties. This conference is scheduled to take place in Belém, Brazil from November 10th to 21st, 2025. The primary goal of COP30 is to address the climate crisis and take new steps to limit global warming to a maximum of 1.5 degrees Celsius. The fact that that is still the stated goal is concerning, just based on the fact that I believe it's virtually impossible. Even if we had the willpower, being already at 1.4 degrees Celsius, I don't think there's any way to even make this happen at this point. All right, now that said, I'm not criticizing the fact that the UN is meeting on this. I'm not criticizing the fact that they are discussing it and then they're going to come up with new ideas. You know, that's necessary. It's the bare minimum of what should be done. It certainly can't be looked at, though, as any sort of solution. It has not been up to this point. And there is a lot of criticism about the COP meetings, especially because of the effect that it has on the areas in which they meet. And this year in particular is a highly controversial one as it is being held in the heart of the Amazon in Brazil. There's an article in The Guardian, and this is a little bit of an older article, a few months old now, but it talked about the preparations being put in place for this summit, which involves clearing hundreds of acres of trees for a brand new 4-lane highway to try and alleviate congestion due to the influx of people coming into Belém for this meeting. I'm going to read some pieces of this article. Fake metal trees have been set into the concrete ground of the Amazonian host city of this year's climate summit, prompting scandalized contrasts with once living vegetation that has been cleared in preparation for COP30 in Brazil. This tropical port, which sits on the mouth of the Amazon River, is one of the poorest cities in Brazil. It faces mounting criticism about its preparations for an international conference that is on a far greater scale than anything previously seen in the rainforest region. A shortage of beds have driven hotel prices so high that the federal government has threatened to prosecute price gougers. Traffic congestion, already bad, is expected to become horrific with the expected influx of 50,000 visitors during the event. Conservation groups have been shocked by the clearance of forests for new highways, and there is skepticism that the city's infrastructure projects, including a doubling of the airport's capacity, will be ready in time. Mask-wearing welders are illuminated by blue sparks at the Parque de Cidade, a former airport that will stage the main conference center. Signs say the work here is being carried out by Brazil's biggest mining company, Vale, which has been responsible for some of the country's deadliest and most environmentally destructive disasters, including the 2019 collapse of the Brumadinho tailings dam, which killed 272 people. Close to the colonial-era Cidade Velha, or Old Town, I don't speak Portuguese, so I'm saying this all wrong, district is a new urban park under construction between a complex of middle-class high-rises and a swanky redevelopment of old warehouses that are now upmarket restaurants selling an extraordinary range of fish dishes and ice creams made from regional fruits. The most striking feature of the new concrete space are several dozen eco-trees made from recycled steel bars that branch out into canopy-like supports for pots full of hanging plants. This proved controversial when a city official admitted the designs were copied from Singapore for shade because Belém is warming rapidly and there was not enough good soil in this area to plant real trees. It confirmed what people could see and feel. Belém was once known as the city of mango trees, but has experienced a dramatic loss of urban vegetation over the past 20 years. This process has been compounded by the COP30 accelerated expansion of two new roads, Avenida Liberdade and Rua de Marinha, that together resulted in the clearance of more than 247 acres of vegetation. Ana Claudia Cardoso, a professor of urbanism at the Federal University of Pará, predicted Belém would have less tree cover in the city after COP than it did before. Another article in the BBC talks about the effect of these new roads being built on the Amazon. Now, I am not, and neither is the article, trying to claim that by holding COP30 in Brazil, it's going to be some majorly catastrophic tipping point for all of the Amazon and that this is just the worst idea that's ever been had. But it does beg the question of, is it even a net positive to hold this meeting at all? Because of the ironically and hypocritical effect that it's going to have on the Amazon region in this area, when the meeting itself negatively affects the areas in which it's claiming to try and help, why hold it anyway? Couldn't this have just been an email, right? We've got digital infrastructure now. This could all be done online. But no, instead, a new four-lane highway cutting through tens of thousands of acres of protected Amazon rainforest is being built for the COP30 climate summit in the Brazilian city of Belém. It aims to ease traffic to the city, which will host more than 50,000 people, including world leaders, at the conference in November. The state government touts the highway's sustainable credentials, but some locals and conservationists are outraged at the environmental impact. The Amazon plays a vital role in absorbing carbon for the world and providing biodiversity, and many say this deforestation contradicts the very purpose of a climate summit. Along the partially built road, lush rainforest towers on either side, a reminder of what was once there. Logs are piled high in the cleared land, which stretches more than 8 miles through the rainforest into Belém. Diggers and machines carve through the forest floor, paving over wetland to surface the road, which will cut through a protected area. I saw a video a couple months back of construction on this highway, and I got a weird sense, you know, a weird sort of cognitive dissonance watching them chop down more rainforest, building concrete structures, putting up walls. And it turns out this is about much more than even just the trees themselves. Claudio Verechete lives about 200 meters from where the road will be. He used to make an income from harvesting acai berries from trees that once occupied the space. Everything was destroyed, he says, gesturing at the clearing. Our harvest has already been cut down. We no longer have that income to support our family. He says he's received no compensation from the state government and is currently relying on savings. He worries the construction of this road will lead to more deforestation in the future, now that the area is more accessible for businesses. He says, one fear is that one day someone will come here and say, here's some money, we need this area to build a gas station, to build a warehouse, and then we'll have to leave. We were born and raised in this community. Where are we going to go? Also, his community won't be connected to the road, given its walls on either side. He says, for those of us who live on the side of the highway, there will be no benefits. There will be benefits for the trucks that will pass through. If someone gets sick and needs to go to the center of Belém, we won't be able to use it. The road leaves two disconnected areas of protected forest. Scientists are concerned it will fragment the ecosystem and disrupt the movement of wildlife. If you look at this on a map, it essentially shows the center of Belém, and it stretches out from there in sort of this expanse of city. And this is a city of around 1.4 million people. In the southeast corner of the city is a large protected, or supposedly supposed to be protected, area of rainforest. And it extends all the way out to the east. Well, the proposed road cuts right through from one section of the city down through the rainforest to the city center, leaving a large chunk of rainforest on the west side, separated by the rainforest on the east side. There is concern that this will disrupt migratory patterns or movement of animals through the area. Professor Silvia Sardinha is a wildlife vet and researcher at a university animal hospital that overlooks the site of the new highway. She and her team rehabilitate wild animals with injuries predominantly caused by humans or vehicles. Once healed, they release them back into the wild, something she says will be harder if there is a highway on their doorstep. From the moment of deforestation, there is a loss, she says. We are going to lose an area to release these animals back into the wild, the natural environment to these species. Land animals will no longer be able to cross to the other side, reducing the areas where they can live and breed. Now, they are claiming, the engineers of this project, that there are crossings for animals frequented throughout the highway, though it is unlikely that they can confidently say that movement will not be hindered. Business owners are praising the idea, according to the article. At least some of them are, because it's going to increase movement from parts of the city. It's going to cut down transportation times for goods. They believe it will modernize the city. And in many ways, the ability to help the economy and to increase livelihoods of people there is a positive. But as the gentleman stated earlier, if that growth in the economy results in a further deforestation or a gentrification of those who have lived in the rainforest, including the animal life there, this could be opening the gates to a further devastation of the region. João Alexandre Trindade da Silva, that's a long name, who sells Amazonian herbal medicines in the market, acknowledges that all construction work can cause problems, but he felt the future impact would be worth it. We hope the discussions aren't just on paper and become real actions, and the measures, the decisions taken, really are put into practice so that the planet can breathe a little better, so that the population in the future will have a little cleaner air. Let's see, that's the end of his quote. That will be the hope of world leaders, too, who choose to attend the COP30 summit. Scrutiny is growing over whether flying thousands of them across the world and the infrastructure required to host them is undermining the cause. That was the end of that article. All of this while just a paper that came out yesterday, I should say an article in phys.org, titled Record-Breaking Carbon Dioxide Rise Shows the Amazon is Faltering, but satellite that spotted this may soon be shut down. I'm not going to go too far into this one. I think I'm going to do a whole episode on this next week, unless something changes. Who knows? Maybe I'll do one tomorrow. But just to touch on the key points here, atmospheric carbon dioxide rose faster in 2024 than in any year since records began, far faster than scientists expected, and the new satellite analysis shows that the Amazon rainforest, which has long been a huge absorber of carbon, is struggling to keep up. The fear, as I scroll down to the bottom of the article here, is that the largest change seen was over the Amazon, where much less CO2 is being absorbed. Our analysis suggests that warmer temperatures explain most of the Amazon's reduced capability to absorb carbon. They say the most likely culprit is the extensive, record-breaking drought that has gripped much of the Amazon basin. When plants are already stressed by lack of water, even modest warming can push them beyond their tolerance, reducing their ability to absorb carbon. We did an episode on the savannification of the rainforest a couple years back, and this is not a process that has slowed down. According to this article and others, it is accelerating, losing the Amazon as a carbon sink and converting to a carbon source would be an epically terrible tipping point. And so that just puts, you know, in context the damage being done by COP30 being held in Belém and shows why the decision was a bit tone deaf. Lastly, and at the same time, Brazil has just greenlit oil drilling in the Amazon as environmentalists raise alarm. This is an article in The Guardian. Conservationists argue President's oil expansion plans clash with his image as a global leader on climate change. I will also just touch on this one briefly. Essentially, there's a company called Petrobras, I may be saying that wrong, but it's been given permission to drill for oil near the mouth of the Amazon River, casting a shadow over the country's green ambitions as it prepares to host the UN climate talks. Petrobras said drilling in the Foz do Amazonas region would begin immediately and would last for 5 months, after its five-year battle to get permission to explore the area. So they have been trying for quite a while now to get a permit for this. They were denied again and again and again, citing environmental issues. They were denied by the governmental council for this called IBAMA. IBAMA denied Petrobras an exploration license in 2023, citing inadequate plans to protect wildlife in case of an oil spill. Petrobras appealed, and pressure from Lula, the president, who said earlier this year that IBAMA was a government agency acting as if it was against the government. In February, an opinion signed by 29 IBAMA technical staff said the recommendation remained to deny the environmental license, highlighting the risk of massive biodiversity loss in a highly sensitive marine ecosystem. However, in May, Rodrigo Agostinho overruled the opinion and allowed Petrobras to go ahead with an oil spill accident response drill that was considered the last step before the license was granted. In September, they approved the pre-operational environmental assessment despite Petrobras failing to demonstrate it can reliably protect fauna in the event of an oil spill. IBAMA's technical staff noted in February that drilling conditions were very challenging in the Foz de Amazonas Basin, prone to intense storms and strong ocean currents. The approval sabotages the COP and goes against the role of climate leader claimed by President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on the international stage, said the Climate Observatory. The decision is disastrous from an environmental, climate, and socio-biodiversity perspective. So despite all the words, despite all the posturing and empty gestures, behind it all is this desire to feed the corporate machine, to acquiesce to this capitalist desire to extract every possible resource, environment be damned. And that is why I laugh when the stated mission of COP is to still attempt to keep our temperatures below 1.5 degrees Celsius. We are in the midst of accelerating climate change, heading towards runaway climate change at a rapid pace. And all of the words said, all of the promises made at COP30 here next week mean absolutely nothing if the actual real-world actions that are being taken continue to be what we've seen up to this point. All right. Glad to have you around. Appreciate your support. Goodbye.
Neulich bei der Versicherung.
Bahnhof.
Bahnhof, Bahnhof.
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 Sie verstehen bei Ihrem Berater nur Bahnhof? Zeit zu Ergo zu wechseln, denn da verstehen Sie nur.
Einfach.
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 Denn wir machen Versichern einfacher. Einfach, weil's wichtig ist. Ergo.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.